So our text for this morning's meditation is from Isaiah chapter 11, these words, "And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in that untime of the year, that time between Christmas and the new year when nothing much gets done, when nothing much is accomplished, and with the weather being what it can be, we usually find ourselves camped out in front of our television for days on end. That is, we watch famous singers sing their favorite songs and ours, and famous basketball players playing on our favorite teams, famous football players striving to get our favorite team into the playoffs, perhaps even to the Super Bowl. I mean, the airwaves and internet are full of all sorts of stuff to pass the time this time of year. So how is it then? How do we decide what we're going to watch? How do we decide what we're going to watch? Well, we usually end up watching whatever show there is, whatever special, whatever game that features someone we admire. I mean, we end up watching that singer, that actor, that basketball player, or football player, or even hockey player because we admire them in some way. We admire how they sound. We admire how they express themselves, how they move, how they handle pressure, how they make decisions, how they bounce back from adversity, or how they flawlessly perform in the spotlight of millions doing those things which we ourselves, we only dream of doing. In other words, we watch those people who have attributes, that is, talents and skills and abilities that we wish we had. So obviously then we can tell a lot about any person really, by the people, the athletes, the musicians, the actors they themselves admire. And troubling it certainly can be when someone admires someone that has qualities that simply are not admirable. Troubled, for example, is a parent who discovers and then listens to the music his or her teenager is listening to, and then goes on to unearth who it is who is actually making that type of music. Conflict can then occur, but it usually gets resolved one way or another, eventually, over time, as children do grow up and the difficulties of life overwhelm, and so those children move on from what they were listening to in their teenage years, just like we did. And it's not that we admire someone in childhood or our teenage years and then stop admiring anyone at all. No. We simply stop admiring one person, and as we get older, we begin to admire another. The change in the object of our admiration reflecting our own change. So why? Why all this talk about admiration on the Sunday after Christmas? Well, in our Old Testament text from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is presented to us as someone to admire. As someone to admire. Why are we to admire Jesus? Well, we are to admire Jesus because the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. And in resting upon him, that Spirit gives Jesus wisdom and understanding, the ability to counsel, to have great strength, extensive knowledge, and a proper fear of the Lord. Now, having such wisdom and understanding, the ability to counsel, having great strength, extensive knowledge, and a proper fear of the Lord, Jesus would be able to judge mankind, make judgments of mankind, not on the basis of outward appearances or even on the basis of what he had been told, but Jesus would judge and does judge on the basis of righteousness and equity, That is, the judgment of Jesus Christ is perfect. And it's applied perfectly. I mean, just think if the NFL refs had that same ability. They would be completely and totally trusted. There'd be no need for instant replay. And when teams lost, they'd have no one to blame but themselves. Now, that comparison is somewhat funny, the comparison between our Savior, Jesus Christ, and National Football League referees. But it should probably be a little more sobering. For what the need for instant replay demonstrates is that although those NFL referees are right most of the time, there are times when they are not right, even though they're trying their hardest. And the same holds true for us. Yes, we can try our best with our thoughts and words and actions and still fall short. And if such were the case when it came to us, as it is with the NFL referees, that is, if instant replay were available, it would only confirm our inadequacies, as those funny commercials from last year demonstrated. You remember those when people get in arguments and someone would throw a red flag down and someone would rush onto the screen and show them what actually had happened. Now, that being the case, you'd think we'd admire the knowledge of Jesus, the strength of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, all expressed with a perfect understanding of the fear of the Lord. But of course, we don't. We don't. In fact, we don't really know what to do with that aspect of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, the work of Christ, his suffering and death, his rising from the dead, his ascension into heaven for us and for our salvation, boy, those are wonderful things he did. For what Christ has done for us, we are justly thankful and grateful. But the person of Christ himself, his wondrous attributes of strength and knowledge and wisdom, what do we do with those? You know, it's one thing to admire someone from afar, someone on television, someone on the internet. It's another thing to actually know such a person with some great skill or talent. Because when we actually know such a person and interact with them, it doesn't take long for us to realize in their talent our lack of talent. In their skill, our lack of skill. In their knowledge, our lack of knowledge. In their strength, our lack of strength. And that can be very challenging, even demoralizing and heartbreaking. So maybe that's why we shy away from thinking of Jesus, our Savior, as the amazing human being that he was and is, endowed with such gifts by the Holy Spirit. We don't think about Jesus in that way because we don't want to cry out like Peter. Peter, when he saw the great miracle that Jesus had performed in the great catch of fish, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And yet, there is another way we can think about Jesus. There's another way to think of the great attributes with which he was gifted and which we should admire. Another way to assess those attributes and even to rejoice in them. Here, I like to think of a player on my freshman basketball team. Now, when I was a freshman in high school, I was about 5 feet 6 inches tall, and I rode the bench a lot, and I rode the bench because we had a lot of talented players on our team. At least that's what I told myself. One of whom was named Trevor Smotherman. Now, that's an interesting name. Now, in a lark, I looked Trevor up on the internet this week, and he's now a police officer in Fort Collins, Colorado, and just recently was inducted into the Loveland High School Hall of Fame. Why? Well, he was an incredible basketball player. When I played with him my freshman year, he also was a freshman. He was already 6 feet 3 inches tall. He had amazing ball handling skills, speed, quickness, was deadly from the free throw line. Repeatedly, game after game after game, Trevor made such incredible plays on the court that all that I could think about was that I was glad that he was on my team. I mean, I was in awe of his abilities, of his attributes. And of course, being on his team, I benefited greatly from them. There was no thought of jealousy or resentment or anger that he was so tall and so good. I mean, what could I do about that? About my own height at that time of life? About whatever natural gifts I'd been given in comparison? No, the thinking was gratefulness. And in my admiration, seeing the very shape of what I should be as a basketball player. Of course, for those we played against, that was not so. Trevor's attributes laid waste, exposed, revealed what was lacking in our opponents. And here we finally come to our text from the prophet Isaiah. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. For what does the preaching of Christ, even the preaching of the Christ, do but confront and trouble and challenge, or in other words, lay waste, expose, and reveal the inadequacies of mankind? Peter, again, at seeing such a great catch of fish at the word of Jesus, could think of nothing other than his lack of worthiness to even be near Jesus. The demons shrank in fear from Jesus. The theologians among the Pharisees and Sadducees were intimidated by Jesus, finally coming to the point where they would no longer even dare to ask him a question. And of course, the temple rulers were frightened of Jesus, and they wanted nothing but his death. The attributes of Christ, wisdom and understanding, the ability to counsel and have great strength, extensive knowledge, and a proper fear of the Lord. Yes, the attributes of Christ, so apparent in his preaching, the words of his mouth, they just intimidated, for they revealed to the people that the theologians and rulers of the Jews did not possess that wisdom. They did not have that understanding. They didn't have that ability to counsel, and certainly didn't have the great strength and extensive knowledge and the proper fear of the Lord that Jesus did. And so we too would be similarly intimidated. We'd be the same way. Had not our Savior, Jesus Christ, sent his Spirit into our hearts, washing and regenerating and renewing us and gifting us as well with various spiritual gifts, each of us differently, making us, crudely put, members of Team Jesus, even though it seems like we ride the bench most of the time when it comes to the game of life. It is then by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we simply can rejoice in the attributes of Christ, his wisdom and understanding and counseling and might, because he is on our side, just as Luther wrote in A Mighty Fortress, referring to Jesus. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and Spirit. What does the name Emmanuel mean that we hear so much this time of year, but God with us? What do we read in the Gospel of John but that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth? What did our Savior Jesus say to his disciples and so say to us, but behold, I am with you always? We heard in our Gospel reading this morning that Mary and Joseph marveled at the words that were spoken about Jesus when they went up to the temple in Jerusalem to perform the sacrifices appropriate after the birth of a first child. For what was said about Jesus was not just what he was, but what he would become. Of course, we know what Jesus became, our Savior from sin and death and the power of the devil. But along with that, he became our example in wisdom and understanding and ability and strength and knowledge and a proper fear of the Lord. Attributes that should not intimidate us, but about which we rejoice because they continue to be used in our Savior's care and guidance of us. And attributes which we also should, in the joy of the Holy Spirit, seek to emulate. And when the world hears of such a Christ, well, it's indeed like they were being struck with a rod of iron. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and we sing the creed.